namo bhagavate vasudevaya
om 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 namo bhagavate vasudevaya
samsara sagare magnam dinamam karunanidhe कर्मग्राहकृतीताङ्गम् मामुद्धरभवानव श्रीमद्भागवयाख्योऽयम् प्रत्यक्षकृष्णदेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुख्यतम् भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयम् सफला सर्वदा मया निर्विघ्नैरेव कर्तव्यम् दासोऽहम् तव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पालयोत्सव जायते तदा कुरुष्वदेश नाथ स्मन्नो यदप्रणो नानसङ्कीर्तनम् यस्य सर्वपापप्रणाशनम् प्रणामो दुःखशमनम् तम् नमामि हरिम् परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोन्वया इदयजस्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरात् तेने ब्रह्महृदायगवये मुह्यन्दियल् सूरया तेजो वायुरम् यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा दाम्नास्येन सदा धिरस्तभुवम् सत्यम् परम् धीमहि ब्रह्म प्रोचितकैलवोत्रवरमो मुर्मत्सराणाम् सदाम् वेद्यम् वासवमत्र वसु शिवनम् तावत्त्रयो नूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किम्वापरे ईश्वरः सद्यो हृत्यवयुध्यते प्रकृतिभिः शिश्रूषुभिः तक्षणा निगमकल्पतरो गलिगम्भरम् सुखमुखा हृदत्रवसंयुतम् पिबदा भागवतम् रसमालयम् मूरहो रसिका भूवि भावुका सचिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोल्पव्यानिहेतवे तावत्त्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयम् नमः यम् प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुवेदमवेदकृत्यम् द्वैपायनो विरहनादयमजुहाव पुत्रेणि तन्मयदया तयवो विहेतु तम् सर्वभूतहृदयम् मुनियानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावम् किल श्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपम् अदितिनिर्षदाम् तमोन्धम् संसारिणाम् करुणया पुराणगुह्यम् तम् व्यासशून्यम् उपयामि गुरुम् मुनीना नारायणम् नमस्कृत्य नरम् चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीम् सरस्वतीम् व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीय शौर्यमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुपुणिताभृतानिन्दोः मम वाचि चम्बरामुराये मधुरिम् न कपिलापि कापिकापि ॐ विष्णुपराय कृष्णकृष्णाय भूषणे श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवि गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यादेशदारिणे श्रीगुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्याम् नमः वन्दे नन्दप्रजस्तरीणाम् आदरेणुमभीष्णशा या सम् हरिगतो गीतम् पुरारीभुवनत्रयम् गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमानवे नमः पीताम्बरम् करविराजितचक्रशङ्खम् गोमोदगी सरसिजम् करुणासमुद्रम् राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासम् वातालेशम् विषम् प्रतिभावयामि कोमलम् पूजयम् वेदम् श्यामदोयम् कुमारक वेदवेद्यवयम् ब्रह्म भारताम् पुरतो मम मूकम् करोति वाचालम् भङ्गम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमते हरियाय सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द
गोविंदम्।
जिह्वैगतो अम् अपकर्षति कर्कितर्षाल् शिश्नोऽन्यदश्च कुतरम् श्रवणम् कुतश्चिल् घ्राणोऽन्यदश्च बलदृक् क्व च कर्म शक्तिर्बह्वासपत्नीम् इव गेहपतिम् लुनन्ति। सृष्ट्वा पुराणि विविधानि अजयाल्पशक्त्या वृक्षान् सरीम् सृपपशून् खगदंश मत्स्यान् तैस्तै अतुष्टहृदय पुरुषम् विधाय ब्रह्मावलोकदर्शनम् उदमापदेवाः। लब्ध्वा सुदुर्लभमदम् बहुसम्भवान्ने मानुष्यम् अर्थदम् अनित्यम् अपीह धीराः। तूर्णम् यदे न पदेदनुमूर्ति यावल् निःश्रेयसाय विषया सर्वतस्याल् न खलु सर्वदस्याल्। सो एकादश स्कंदम, दिस इज द वर्सेस वी वर डिस्कसिंग लास्ट संडे। एज यू हैव सीन अवर दत्तात्रेय महर्षि, दिस दत्तात्रेय महर्षि इज एन इनकार्नेशन ऑफ दत्तात्रेय हु इज द कृष्णा अनदर इनकार्नेशन दत्तात्रेय। एंड दिस दत्तात्रेय महर्षि हुम वी आर रेफरिंग टू इज ए expansion of that Dattatreya Maharshi that says this Brahmana, Avadhuta Brahmana we are talking about, is an expansion of that Dattatreya, Krishna's incarnation. So our Dattatreya Maharshi, Krishna has quoting him and he mentioned this, King Yadu is listening to him. This is what we have seen. 24 spiritual masters we discussed before, and now we have come to the 25th spiritual masters, where is that's where he is talking about these things. Jihvaigado amum apakarshari karkitarshari. As we saw what it means, starting with the tongue, very difficult to control, and similarly all other senses are drawing us in different directions. Five senses of knowledge and five senses of action, Jnanendriyam and Karmendriyam. So these 10 senses, they don't allow us to take any independent position. They are always constantly engaging in something or the other. Shishnonyadastu udaram shravanam kudaschit. And shishnam means genitals, tukka, the skin, udaram, the belly, and shravanam, the hearing. All of them are one way or the other destroying our original peaceful existence. We are not peaceful. Why? Because these ten senses are pulling in 10 different directions. That's why we are not peaceful. Otherwise we are meant to be peaceful in this world. But it won't happen as long as these 10 senses are pulling in 10 different directions. Ghananyadas chabaladrikvaja karma shakti. Apart from sensing the smell, ghananyadas chabaladrik, and eyes are going everywhere looking for some sign of satisfaction. That is the things like television and all other, any other activity where eyes are getting a sense gratification. Chabaladrik. Kocha karma shakti. Beyond and all that, our karma shakti, which is also they wanting to do something all the time. That is in us, very inherent in us. And that's why it manifests in different forms in every one of us. Kocha karma shakti. Vahya sabatnya iva grehapadim linandi. And he is like many wives a person has got. Just like a young man, when he finished his education and he got a job and he started earning his own money, so at that time he felt that now I can live comfortably, and he started spending money very freely without any consideration. He was using for all sorts of things without any consideration, because money was coming, he was working, he had good health, being young. And money was coming and he was spending very freely and enjoying life. in the modern terms. He was enjoying the life. So at that time, all his relatives and all, they noticed that there was a big change in him, that he has given up all his good habits, even while he has a student, and now he has become completely in an enjoying spirit, living a life uncontrolled. So they thought that perhaps the best thing to do is to get him married, so that he will have some peace and some regulated life in his, instead of becoming in an uncontrolled way going. Therefore some discipline will come to his life, so better to get him married so that there will be, normally as in the olden days they used to think like that. So they got him married, and after some time they asked him, how do you feel now that you are married? Initially they were chastising him for being reckless and not being careful about the money and wasting money on different things. So now, after getting him married, they arranged a marriage for him and asked him, how do you feel now after the marriage? He said, well, it has improved a lot, he says, that I'm not wasting money like before, and also I'm more peaceful, he said. And he started experiencing a certain different kind of happiness than what he had before, when he was wasting money at the same time there was no peace either. So at least now that he's married, he found it life a little bit more interesting. He thought, everything is nice now, I don't have to do cooking, I don't have to do so many things, everything is taken care of. And there was some companionship also. All these things, he started feeling happy. Then he started thinking, if I have married one person, one girl, I'm getting so much happiness. So if I marry two, what will happen? He started thinking like that. This is how his thought started going in that direction. So eventually he decided to get married 10 times. Oh. And that's what we are discussing here. Jihvaigado amum abagarshadi karkitarshadi. What, only after he married the 10 he realized what will happen. So, shishnon yadastu gudaram shravanam kudaschil. In the same way, the life becomes that he understood that it is not easy life. So it is the same situation with us also. When we are pulled in all directions by all the senses, what peace of mind do we have? Where is our mind? The mind which is supposed to be peaceful. And shanti, shanti we are talking about. Where is that shanti in the life? Constantly being disturbed for one thing or the other. So therefore, it says here that this is what we have got with us. These 10 senses, 5 senses of knowledge and 5 senses of action. So it is impossible to free oneself from this. And therefore they are saying that it is necessary to develop vairagyam or renunciation. How to control the senses. So here, what he is saying here, Srishwa Purani Vividhani Ajayalma Shaktya Bhrushan Sarim Sapapashun Khatabamsha Malsyan. When Brahma created us, he did not get any satisfaction from the creation till he created the human being. Because in human being, as I mentioned before, he found this great qualification. What was that? Brahmavalokadushanam. Brahmavalokadushanam was the main attraction he had. So, what we are doing in our spiritual life is also nothing but waking up this Brahmavalokadushanam inside us. This is what spiritual life is all about. Spiritual master does this. Shastras does this. And all the other spiritual masters also, like we have seen here, 24, 25 spiritual masters, they also do exactly the same thing. This Brahmavalokadushanam is in everybody. Don't think that it is going to come from outside. Nothing comes from outside. When Krishna created us, he has created us complete, incomplete. Nothing has to be put in from outside. Purnamada purnamidam purnaval purnam samuchyate udachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnamevavashishyate. Just like part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna's creation is so perfect that when he created human being and he found that Brahmavalokadushanam is inside, is there, working all what is necessary for spiritual realization is also provided inside. And that is what is in us. And what we are doing is turning our Shraddha or our attention towards the truth. That is what is Brahmavilokadarshanam means. What is right at this moment in time, our mind is directed in different directions. Instead of mind allowing to go in different directions, turning the attention of the mind towards the truth, towards the absolute truth. So that is Brahmavilokadarshanam. Brahma means the truth, absolute truth. Darshana means the intelligence. Avilokanam means to the vision of all the intelligence towards Brahma or towards the truth. So Brahmavilokadarshanam is nothing but that is a special quality that's been given to us. This power, what has been given to us, is that is the speciality with the human body. It's only the speciality with the human body, nothing else. Everything else in this body is only to create distress. It's only to create distress, except this one thing. We'll come to that, why it is like that. Everything else what Krishna has given in this body is only meant to create distress for us. For example, as soon as you take your attention away from Brahmavilokadarshanam to sense gratification, what happens? We end up in distress. We end up in distress. What Krishna has given to other animals, we don't have that. Krishna has given much better facility for animals to enjoy senses in their bodies. This is the first thing we have to remember. As far as eating is concerned, as far as sleeping is concerned, as far as sex life is concerned, animals enjoy their senses better than us. They have much lesser anxiety over us. We, for example, food is concerned, we have anxiety all the time. Will the food be there for tomorrow or day after? So we went to stack up the food. We are not sure whether the food will be provided or not. So when the prices go up, we get concerned about the food prices. And it is natural that it is not that we have a higher intelligence, we are doing that. Don't get that understanding. Animals also, they eat, they get their food. Krishna has provided their food for every day. The birds, the bees, everybody gets their food. They don't pile up the food like we do. There is no need for them. Why? Because Krishna's arrangement is so good that they don't have that anxiety that food will come at the time when it's needed. Somehow or the other, it will be provided. So in other words, without any anxiety about food, they can carry on living. They don't have to accumulate or collect a lot of food and store it for months and years. That anxiety don't exist for them. So in that way, they are better situated than us, the animals. Similarly, sleeping is concerned. We require so many comforts to sleep, isn't it? Unless we have all those facilities, we cannot sleep. This is our difficulty, that we need proper temperature and proper beds and free from sound and all kinds of requirements we have. Look at the animals, if you look at them, you will see that they find peacefully they sleep when they need to sleep. There is no need for them to arrange a facility like the way human society does as far as sleeping is concerned. More interesting than that is if you look at the sex life of the animals. Human being has so many requirements as far as the sex life is concerned. And even among the animals, you will see on a natural level, they do not have any problem with their sex life is concerned. Their sex life is concerned. Sometimes you notice that also, that some of the animals who are very well looked after, for example, the pet dogs and all that, they have a difficulty with their sex life. Whereas the dogs on the street, they don't have a problem with their sex life. Why? Krishna's arrangement is like that. That animals should not have any problem as far as eating, sleeping, sex life is concerned. If you leave them to themselves, they know how to manage that. We don't have to get involved in their activities. They are looked after like that. But, unfortunately, Krishna has expected that only from the animals, not from us. From us, what Krishna is expecting is this Brahmavilokadarshanam. Brahmavilokadarshanam is what Krishna is expecting from us. So, therefore, if we engage our life also, simply in the same activities like the animals, thinking that, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, Krishna considers that as a great loss in human life that he did not use this opportunity. He did not use this opportunity. For example, if we say like this, that if you do all these kind of things, sometimes you may be glorified or respected by the society in this world. You may be respected by the society in this world. Oh, he is doing everything very well. Looks after his life well, earns well, spends well, lives well. All these kind of things will come. That is all true as far as that part is concerned. The only thing is, if you do all that, what will happen is, the world will recognize you. The world, external world, will recognize you. But you won't get that certification from inside. Inside from whom? Antaryami, Krishna. You won't get that. And that is why you will notice some people try to fill this hole. There is a hole in the heart. They are trying to fill this hole with various things, isn't it? Some people think, I'll make a lot of money in my life and I'll be happy. Some people are thinking, I will make a lot of followers and I'll be their leader and they'll follow me and that way I'll become happy. From fame, from wealth, from fame. Some people think, oh, I'll become a very beautiful person by doing all kinds of plastic surgery or whatever it is. Something or the other. Why? They are looking for satisfaction in life. They are not getting it. So they do these things. And then some other people are thinking, if I have first class health, then at least the life will be, I'll be satisfied in my life. No, nothing will satisfy us. Why? Because this hole is not plugged. There is a hole there in the heart. And that hole is saying to us that Brahmava Loga Dishanam Udamava Devaha, that so long as we have not come to this platform of Brahmava Loga Dishanam, this is not going to happen. This satisfaction won't come. Inside satisfaction won't come. You may do anything in this world. You can earn a lot of money. You can become very famous. You may have a lot of followers. You may have very good health. You may have extraordinary beauty. The whole world will give you, honor you, but you will not get the recognition from inside, from Antaryami. Krishna is called Antaryami there. Krishna will recognize when you turn inwards looking for self. That is the only difference. That's the only difference. Throughout the history, if you look, even in the past, even today, you can see the same thing repeating one after the other. There was a very famous merchant, who was a very famous merchant. He used to do business on pearls. So naturally, it's a very expensive business. He used to make a lot of money. When he made a lot of money, and he had only one son, who unfortunately, due to some illness, he left him at an early age in life. And he had made so much wealth, and at the end he realized that, what did I do all this money? The hole was there still. There was no fulfillment inside. So eventually he decided to give up everything. He gave away everything. Just took to a kaupin, the very minimum cloth just to cover his own body. And wearing a kaupin, he sat there in front of the temple. When he was a big businessman, he used to go and see the king. And king and this businessman, they had a very lovely close relationship because he used to give a lot of money to the king on taxes. The king recognized his services and all that. When he became this beggar, giving up everything because of the vairagyam inside, he gave up everything and he was sitting there. The king came to see him one day. So when the king came to see this businessman, businessman was sitting right in front of the temple with a begging bow. He was sitting there. So the king came up to him and told him that, why have you done this? Previously you had sufficient wealth, and what was the need to change your way of life like this? He said to him, previously I used to come and see you. When I came to see you, you used to sit down and I used to stand up. Now what happens? I am sitting and you are standing, he said. He said, in other words, what he was saying is that you may have acquired everything, the proprietorship, the businesses, the king and wealth and everything, but that is not complete. Life is not complete. That is not the fulfillment of life. This is what he was saying to the king. So this is why Brahma Krishna is given so much importance to Brahmavaloka Dishanam. Brahmavaloka Dishanam Udamabadevaham. That there is nothing in this world higher than that. And this is what you will see in the Srimad Bhagavatam also. Nothing more than this. This very principle followed by great devotees. What did Jadabharata say to Rahugana? Rahugana was a big, powerful king. Jadabharata was a very poor brahmana who had nothing. Rahugane sattabasanayadi na chejaya nurvapanal grahadvaha ya chandasa naiva jala agni suryor vina mahalpa adarajo vishegam. This is what Rahugana was told. Rahugane sattabasanayadi. Then all this Rahugana, you say to Rahugana, Rahugana, you don't think that you can get this situation by your being smart or being clever. That won't work in this field. In every other field it may work. But once you come to spiritual life, all your smartness and cleverness and everything, you have to throw it away. That doesn't going to work. Why? Na chejaya nurvamanal grihadvam. That even you are following the rules and regulations of performing sacrifices with your wealth, na chandasa naiva jala agni suryo vina mahalpada rajo abhishegam. That even studying the Vedas and performing penances in the water, in the fire, in the sun, all these things, even that cannot help you. What to talk about your own clever or smartness, what you thought you are. So Rahugana's eyes were opened by Jadabharata in that way. Vinam halpada rajobhishegam. Then, all these things cannot bring happiness in life. This is what he mentioned to them. So, what is this Brahmavaloka Dishanam? Brahmavaloka Dishanam begins, spiritual life is meant for that. If not, that's not happening, this spiritual life is not simply not worth. Because turning our attention from the world towards the truth, from the world to the truth. Right at this moment, our mind is looking for something. We don't know what that is looking for. We are looking for that in the money, we are looking for that in the popularity or fame, followers, or the acquisitions, various things. Our attention is driven into all these things, thinking that this is what is going to bring happiness to us. Krishna is saying, Brahmavaloka Dishanam Udamava Devaha, that unless that Dishana, intelligence is turned towards that truth, which is inside, it's not going to happen. So basically spiritual life is that taking your attention away from this world and going inwards to see Krishna who is present inside as the super soul inside. So till we start looking in that direction, it is not going to happen. This change won't happen. We'll continue doing whatever. We misunderstand spiritual life. We think that in spiritual life I'm doing this, I've chanted my rounds, I have... That is all meant for this, at the end, to get there, to that point. That, to chant the holy name for what? And doing the deity worship. So many things we do. But if it is just done on a mechanical level, day after day, I'm doing deity worship. I've done 30 years, 40 years deity worship. But at the end, the attention has not turned towards Krishna. Then what is the use? Where will that happen? What will end up? It will end up in the same thing as we have started from the very beginning. That's what it is mentioned here. That the attention has to go. Attention has to turn. We are such people, just like an example. We are such people, our attention is always in the different objects of this world. We have made our life so mechanical. Once it so happened, a spiritual master went to see his disciple. It was in the morning, about say 7-8 o'clock, like that. So the disciple was in the house doing his Guru Puja. So the servant came and told the spiritual master, "Oh, my boss is busy at home. He is doing his Guru Puja." So, we are like that. The The spiritual master had come to see him. And he was doing Gurubhuja inside the photo. What do you think about that? Spiritual master is waiting here. He is doing his Gurubhuja inside the photo, to the photo. So this is how we are. We are such gross people. Our mind is so gross that if we don't do it, we'll think, oh, I've not done something in today, that something will happen to me. Out of fear, we do. Same thing with deity worship also. We do deity worship, but we don't want to know anything about Krishna, what happens to the rest of the world. What we do, that's my business. Don't have to ask me that question. But Krishna is saying, that is also not rejected. Don't get me wrong. We are not criticizing deity worship. But it has to come up from that level. It cannot get stuck in that level whole life. I've done deity worship. 25 years, 30 years I've done deity worship. What happened after that? I'm still doing deity worship. I know one person who was very well known as a first class pujari in this movement. For 30 years he has done deity worship. And after 30 years now, he is driving taxis in Frankfurt Airport. So what do you think about that? For 30 years he has done deity worship, and ultimately he felt it is not interesting. He gave it up and went and started driving taxis in the airport. So why did this happen? Because we got stuck in the deity worship. Deity worship is necessary. Nothing is rejected by the sages. Sages say everything is necessary, but you can't get stuck there. You have to keep moving. Otherwise it is not going to bring the result, what is supposed to come from that. Bhagavatam, if you read through Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find in so many places mentioned this, that how does the process of self-realization works? Where is it coming from? Brahma Darshanam. Satyam Yal Brahma Darshanam. It says in the second chapter of the first canto. Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, it will say Satyam Yal Brahma Darshanam. So, important thing is that this process of worship, deity worship, guru puja, all these things, they are there just to purify us. Just to purify us. We need to get purified, because through that purification we understand that when the what is proper bhakti will develop inside. Otherwise bhakti will not develop. And that is why this understanding is in everybody, because Brahmavalokadarshanam is inside us. It has to come from within. So what is happening is that, as I mentioned before, that this knowledge of Krishna consciousness is within everybody. Within everybody. What is happening at the moment is, because we have not taken seriously the process of Krishna consciousness, sometimes we tend to get stuck in certain levels and we never move from there. That's why that is why it is said like that. Actually, Krishna is present inside, the spirit soul is present inside, he is wearing the shawl of the mind and is wearing this garland of pranam. Krishna is inside, like the living entity, the jiva is inside, part and parcel of Krishna. He is present inside, covered with the mind, and also wearing this garland of the pranam. In other words, it is spoken in that way, that it has to come out and it has to experience what is spiritual life. Otherwise, what is the point in doing all these things? 50 years I have been preaching, but I have not realized anything. What is the point? Where is going to take us at the time of death? What will happen? But so therefore, it is mentioned here, in the Bhagavatam also it says like that, whenever we talk about Krishna, whenever we talk about the soul, there is something that is hitting us inside. Somewhere, we have a feeling that Krishna is inside. There is no doubt about that. We all know that there is Krishna present inside. When I say Krishna is present inside means, the spiritual, the spiritual entity is present inside. That is why when it's spoken about that, it is affecting everybody to some extent. We want to get it, but we don't know how to capture it. This is our situation today. We want to get that understanding. We want to capture that soul inside. Come to that soul platform or spiritual platform, but we are unable to do that. We know it is there, but we don't know how to get it. So we keep asking how to do it. Isn't it? So this is the thing. That this Brahmava Loka Dishanam is in everybody. This is important point. Please do not think that it's only in certain people. No, it is in everybody. As long as there is a soul inside a body, Brahmava Loka Dishanam is also there in that person. Only thing is, in order to substantiate that, we can even say like this. Suppose you left a group of people in a forest, somewhere in, say, in Africa or somewhere in a thick forest, you left a group of people. You didn't give them Bhagavad Gita, Bible, Quran, nothing. You never gave them any scriptures. They settle down there. You will see that even after two or three generations, there is possibility that some jnanis may come out of it. Why is it like that? There's some jnanis will come out of that. Not that, that they will be like that forever. Because the reason for that is that even in the absence of Shastram, even in the absence of any literature, because Krishna is present inside, when distress comes to somebody in life, when distress comes in life, and when he finds totally helpless, this Brahmava Loka Dishanam will wake up from inside. It is then the inquiry will begin. The inquiry will definitely begin. Why it has happened? Where is it going? Moment that happens, then his inquiry begins and he will start acting in that direction. Such a person, if he gets the opportunity to sit in satsangam and associate with the devotees, naturally he will mature himself and eventually he will make his life perfect. There is no doubt about that. This can happen to anyone in this world. It is not restricted. Sampradayam, organization and parambara and all that is there. But important, more important than all these things is this Brahmava Loka Dishanam inside. If Brahmava Loka Dishanam is not there, you may join any organization, you may join any group of this, you may have the best spiritual master in this world, you won't make it. It is this Brahmava Loka Dishanam Udamaba Deva, what Krishna says, Krishna gives importance to that. That is more important than anything else. Other things are there only to supplement this, Brahmava Loka Dishanam. But important than any of the other thing is this, Brahmava Loka Dishanam Udamaba Devaha. That is why it is spoken like that. that because this important thing, Brahmava Loka Dishanam, who have got it, it is they who have made it in spiritual life. This is also a fact. Not anyone and everyone. You may see, sometimes what happens, people come to some organization, they want to grow in the organization. Brahmava Loka Dishanam is gone. Growth in the organization becomes important. And that is what happens in the modern world also. One has to be very conscious of all these things. It's not that one gets carried away by simply by the glamour of the outside world. That is not, in spiritual life, all this has no value. The real value is how serious the inquiry is inside. That's why Krishna is, we have to accept what Krishna says. We don't have to go after propaganda. Propaganda has no value. So many times this is a time in the history, an age what we are living today, where we have maximum propaganda goes on in every level. In business, in industry, and various kinds of tools are available for propaganda also. The media, they call it, isn't it? And that mentality has even come to spiritual life also. It has come to spiritual life also. So what do you find? Even in the spiritual world, there is so much competition in this field. The competition has increased. So many organizations, so many personalities, everyone is representing God. What do you do? Everyone is saying that, follow me. I will get you out of this place. Krishna is saying, nothing will work. Don't waste your time. This is where we get trapped in this. There is something in Srimad Bhagavatam. If you study Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam will bring out these things very openly. It will tell you very clearly, very precisely it will tell you where spiritual life has to go, which way it has to go. So that's why he's saying, Labdhva sudurlabhamidam bahu sambhavandi മാനുഷ്യം അർത്ഥദം അനിത്യം അവീഹദീരാഹം തൂർണമ്യതേ നപദേ അനുവൃത്തിയാവൽ നിശ്രേയസായ വിഷയ ഖലു സർവതസ്യാൽ. If the inquiry has begun, Krishna feels happy. Because he is monitoring from inside, has genuine inquiry started, or is he after something else? Is he after propaganda? Or something else he wants in life? Labdhvasu durlabhamidam bahusambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam abihadhiraha tunam yadena padel anumurtiyaval nishreyasaya vishaya khalu sarvatasyal. Then, this human body and human society, Krishna is saying here, that if it is utilized properly, you will find that benefit. You will find that benefit. There is nothing, nobody can come on in the middle of that. Your spiritual life is not dependent on somebody else. It's dependent on you and you alone. Nothing else. That is important point. And for to support our this point, Krishna has spoken in Ekadasha Skandam, we mentioned Ekadasham is a much deeper subject than Bhagavad Gita even. That Ekadasham, two topics are discussed, if you remember. First we spoke about the, what was that? Nimi Navayogi Samvadam, if you remember. The nine sages, Navayogi Samvadam and Nimi. And then the same thing was spoken by Sri Narada Maharshi to Vasudeva. Vasudeva Narada Samvadam, which was in referring to Nini Navayogi Samvadam. There we saw Kavi, Hari, Andarisha, Prabuddha, Pipalayanan, Avirhota, Drumila, Chamasa, Karabhajana. Nine sages spoke about the Absolute Truth. And there you will find that when you come to Pipalayana's story, Pipalayana, what did he say? Pipalayana was asked by the king Nini. Nini's question was, who is God? Who is Narayana? This was the question he raised at that time to Pipalayana. Did you read Pipalayana Maharshi's answer to that? We discussed that in the class. But I don't know whether you have taken time to read through it. Anyway, I'll just read that verse when he talked about Narayana. Who is Narayana? Who is God? He's talking about there. Then, if you look into Canto 11, that was chapter 3, Chapter 3, verse 37. We discussed this verse, but we'll go through it again. Because the question is coming up, who is God? Who is Narayana? Who are we looking for? Who are we searching after? Says here, Sattvam rajastamaiti trividegamadau Sutram mahan ahamidi pravadandi jivam Jnana kriyartha bhalarubanayoru shakti Brahmaiva bhadi sadasachadayo paramyat. Sattvam rajas tamaiti trividegamadau Sattvam rajas tamas. What are they? The three modes of material nature. So, that what here, Pipalayana Maharshi is saying here, in that verse number 37, Sadasal sarvam urishakti brahmaiva bhadi. That everything what you are experiencing in this world has come from Krishna, has come from Brahman. Sattvam rajastama idi trivudega madhav. That what you are seeing in this world is the effect. There is cause and there is effect. So the effect is this world. And where did this world come from? The cause behind it is Krishna. So see Krishna there in that. Then, yattattayo paramja bhavadi. Because he is the cause of all causes, isn't it? In the Brahma Samhita also says, Ishvara Paramakrishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adur Govindam, Sarvakarana Karanam. The same thing, Sattvam Rajasthamaiti Trurdegama Adau. Then, after that, you will see there, Adau Yat Egam Brahma Tadeva, Sattvam Rajasthamaha Iti Trugur Pravadandi. This Brahman, Brahman itself is the same thing which he has transformed into Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas. The origin is Brahman. Brahman, it is, these things have come. These things have come. And then, yet tadaha kriyashaktya sutranidhi jnanashaktya mahanidhi cha pravadanti. That this same thing, when Krishna has, or Brahman as it is referred to here, Brahma transforms into the material nature, which we see as the external world, material world. And in this world, Krishna enters at through his what is known as Kriya Shakti. Kriya Shakti means the ability to execute things or work. Kriya Shakti. And at that time he enters into all the living entities, and therefore he is called Sutralma. Therefore the title given to him is Sutralma. Kriyashaktya Sutra Nidhi. And at the same time, when he enters into everything, it's able to wake up and start functioning in intelligent level. That is come from Jnana Shakti. So Kriyashakti and Jnana Shakti, two potencies Krishna has. And that Jnana Shakti and Kriyashakti, when it starts working, it becomes Sutralatma, and at the same time it turns into also what is known as the Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam also, Mahanidhi. Mahanidhi he is referred to here. So, Jnana Shakti refers to Mahatattvam and Kriya Shakti turns into Sutralatma. We talked about this Sutralatma before, isn't it? Sutralatma means Krishna present in every living entity. That one thread which is linking everyone in this world, every living entity in this creation together is that Sutralatma. Sutralatma is that. In the Bhagavad Gita also you will see Sutra Manigana Yuva, Krishna says there, isn't it? So that Sutralatma is coming from Krishna's Kriya Shakti. And Krishna's knowledge, Jnana Shakti as it is called, it turns into Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam is Krishna's Jnana Shakti, Sutralatma is Krishna's Kriya Shakti. So, why we are saying that here is, that if we do not realize this Sutralatma in this life, then we have not understood what is Krishna. We will be like that person who is doing the deity worship in the photo. We will continue doing it whole life. We won't get anywhere. But as soon as you realize that this is Krishna, understanding Krishna and deeper means understanding Krishna's presence in every living entity. And at the same time, we also have to know that when he is present as Sutralatma, today we are not seeing the sutram, the thread in everyone. When you start seeing the thread, there is a saying, you know this puppet show, when they play the puppets. Puppets have got a thread behind it, isn't it? And the man who is who is pulling the thread, he makes the puppets to play according to the desire, accordingly he desires. He wants to make the puppets to play according to the thread behind it. When you look at the puppet show, when it's being played, you won't see the thread. You won't see the thread. You only see the puppets moving in the puppet show. Only the puppets will be moving. But what we say is, before the puppet show is over, you should find out the thread behind it. Then you have understood. Up to that time, you are only being captured by the show. But once you start seeing the thread behind it, then you come to terms with it. You start thinking, oh, it's working because somebody is pulling the thread from behind. Isn't it? Exactly the same way, in our dealings with this world also, Krishna is the Sutralatma. The thread is in Krishna's hands. And he is present in everyone, and he is pulling that thread. We don't notice it. We are thinking we are doing everything, aren't we? That's our firm conclusions on this. But the reality is that Krishna is pulling the thread and we are dancing whole day, whole night. That's all it is. It's difficult to recognize that. We are thinking that, oh, everything is under my control. And in that understanding, we continue to act, and therefore we don't see the sutram. Therefore he's deliberately called a Sutralatma for this reason, that he is controlling everything. So that's what that word. Satyam rajastamaiti trivregamadau sutram mahanahamidi pravadandi jivam jnana kriyartha bhairubadayo shakti brahma eva bhadi sadasacha tadaya paramyam. So Vipulayana Maharshi is saying to King Nimi that Sutram Mahanaham Mahanahamidi Pravadandi Jivam. Sutram Mahanahamidi Pravadandi Jivam. Jiva do not notice this sutram. Jiva does not notice this sutram. Sutram is the thing, that thread is that which is linking everyone in this world together. So, therefore, he says that this sutram is interesting. If you study this sutram seriously, it's also very interesting. Because it is through this sutram that we experience so many things in this world. Once you come to that position, you will understand why it is so important. For example, when you go into the three states of existence, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, when you go into Sushupti state, what has happens there? That you forget everything, isn't it? Your individual identity is lost. I am this, I am that, all kinds of identity, what you have, is totally lost there. And you also, when you come out of that Sushupti state, back to Jagrat, when you wake up in the morning, somebody is reporting to you that you have experienced some happiness in that state of existence, in the Sushupti state. So when you come back and you report, somebody is reporting to you that, if you reflect on that, then you will see that what was happening in that state was that your false ego has gone completely. False ego has completely gone. All bodily identities have also gone. Bodily identities have also gone. And not only that, even the greatest distress what you may have had during the day in your vacant state, even that doesn't exist. So neither the happiness state or the distress state is there, nor you experience experience your individuality there. Individuality means false ego. I am thinking, I am the doer, I've done this, I'll do this, all kinds of thoughts. They don't exist. Nor you have experienced your, apart from the false ego, all the other things, that your bodily identity, all these things have gone away from you. So what does it mean is that individuality has gone, false ego has gone, and even the distress has gone. Distress is absent in that state. So Krishna is saying here that once you go into that state, when you come back from that, how, if you can reflect on what life you had there, you will at least say that you have experienced a part of realized state. Part of realized state. This is just a glimpse of the realized state of existence. Krishna is giving us this. Everyday life, Krishna is taking you to the realized state and bringing you back into the false ego state again. We don't think like that, do we? What do we say? Oh, I have to rest for a few hours, I need a nap, I'll sleep for a few hours so I can come back to work again. We have given no importance to that state. Why? Because we didn't know what is happening. First of all, we didn't know there is a thing called soul. Secondly, we didn't know that soul goes through all the states of existence. And we have focused on things which are not of that importance. From this you can see that Krishna has given us everything to study yourself, your own body, your own life, and experience a bit of a bliss also. What happens when you are withdrawn from certain planes of life, certain areas of life? Just like from Jagrat state, when you are withdrawn, how your false ego goes away, how your individuality goes away, and similarly, how your ignorance goes away in several areas, and even some of the distress, what so-called distress, what you are struggling with, or something what you are lamenting about, or hankering after, all that things disappears in the deep sleep, in the Sushupti state. It goes away. It does not come and disturb you. So, from there you can see that whatever you have experienced at that state, if you can bring that happiness to some degree to Jagrat state, you can say that you are also experiencing the state of realization, self-realization. Without caring for all these things, simply to say that everything will be okay, I am doing what I have to do, I have been told by my spiritual master to do this, I'll just do this, I won't bother about anything else, and I will be going back home, back to Godhead. I can sit and sing this song whole life, but I won't get anywhere. That's all. This is the fact that so many people we have seen whole lifetime singing the glories of this person and that person, and they thinking they are practicing spiritual life, and at the end lamenting about it. What did I do in my spiritual life? Instead of turning the mind towards Srimad Bhagavatam and trying to hear what Krishna has got to say, they had no time for that. Throughout their life they were busy. They were busy with so many things in spiritual life, but never looked into Srimad Bhagavatam. Never took the time to... It is the same mistake most of us do in life. We get absorbed in glorifying so many people in this world, instead of trying to understand what they have to say to us. What they have to say to us. We simply give up everything, their instructions, and simply follow after them, busy in worshipping them and glorifying them. Nothing will come out of it. It will go like that. We are thinking falsely in our own mind, by me worshipping like this, oh, he will take me back there. He is not going to take you back. He himself is not there. Where is the question of me taking anybody back there? So this is the reality. Spiritual life is not something which can be. Nobody can give it to you. You have to take it your own, to your own shoulders. And therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all the other Vedic literature has been given to us for this purpose. If we don't take interest to know what Krishna has spoken there, and how Krishna wants us to udhared alpana alpanam alpanam avasadayel alpanyayu alpano bandhu atmayuribhya alpanaha. In the Bhagavad Gita you will see, Krishna says that you have to take that initiative from your side to see what he has got to say. Why? Most of the time what has happened in many instances is this, that you may have heard this many instances from many people, that a great soul comes to this world. He followed the Vedic tradition very strictly, studied the Vedic literature, put his own endeavor very hard, he endeavored very hard, and he got eventually realized the truth. He realized the truth. Because they are so compassionate to others, they come and tell us, this is what I got from Srimad Bhagavatam, or this is what I got from Bhagavad Gita. If you take this, I will write it for you in a language you will understand and explain it and give it to you. Please study these books and understand what I have got to say, what Krishna has got to say, in other words, which I am putting it in my own words to you so that you can relate with it. They come, they take so much effort to write this commentaries on the great literature, Vedic literature, and they give it to us. What do? We say that the books are too much for us to read. I'll give it to others, everyone else in this world. Let them read and go back. And in that process I'll also get back. I'll stay here, they may probably go. This is what will happen. If we don't take these things seriously, what Krishna has spoken here. Somebody has been spending all his day and night to write these books, to tell us, to explain to us that this is the science of Krishna consciousness. This is the knowledge side of Krishna consciousness. That we don't want to listen to that. Rather, we are busy doing arati for him 24 hours. And we'll say, oh, he will show his mercy to me, he will take me back. He cannot take you back. Because if it was like that, throughout history, if we notice, we had Jesus Christ, we had Lord Buddha, two great personalities. Both were highly realized souls. Did they create another Jesus Christ or another Buddha? They couldn't. Because this thing doesn't work like that. They came, they gave the message. And what did we do? We didn't take the knowledge they have given. On the other hand, we started saying, oh, he will take me, he will take me home, he will take me home. This is the reality. In spiritual life is like that. Nobody can turn you to change it. You have to change And that's the only thing, the lamp they have lighted. You have to learn to burn your own lamp by taking the wick from that lamp and burning your own lamp. Your own lamp has to burn. Their lamp may burn for them, not for you. So here, if you study Srimad Bhagavatam, these things will be very, very clear. And then all the other business will stop. You will become serious about spiritual life. Otherwise, we'll continue to act on this foolish platform where we don't understand what we are doing. Because everybody is doing it, I'm also doing it. I'll go along with the crowd. Nothing else is going to happen. That's what it is mentioned, that in this verse, if you look at it, kodastha sutram mahanaham mahamidi pravadandi jivaha. Sutram mahanahamidi pravadandi jivaha. The jiva, the living entity, will see that sutram, the thread which is going through everyone. Therefore it is said, nidra samadhisthiti, that when you go into nidra, or the sleeping, deep sleep state, it is samadhisthiti, it is samadhi state. It's very close to that state of self-realization. That's why it said nidra samadhisthiti. That. You'll also notice there, in the soul, in that state, in Sushupti, is called prajnyam, prajnyaha. And prajnyam means it is very close to turiya state, the fourth realized state. There is not a lot of difference, not a lot of difference between that deep sleep state and the realized state. Because many of the unwanted things have already gone away in the deep sleep state. So, from there you can see that there is neither the body, nor the mind, nor the any of the personality, nothing is existing. No husband, no wife, no man, no woman. All these things are dropped by the time you get there. Isn't it? So that's what it is said here. So, it was at this time, Pipalayana Maharshi was asked by King Nimi, where can I see Narayana? Where can I see Narayana? He says here, isn't it? Because when he spoke about this Sutram Mahanahamidi Pravadandi Jiva, if you look at that in the third chapter, you will see there also something else. That prior to that Stithilbhava Pralayhedu, Pipalayana Maharshi is beginning in that same chapter. Stithilbhava Pralayhedu Rahedu Rasya Yal Swapna Jagara Sushuptishu Sad Bahischa Dehendriyasi Hridayani Charandiyena Sanjeevidani Tadavehi Param Narendraha. That Swapna Jagara Sushuptishu Sad Bahischa. That he says there, that Dehendriyasu Kadayani Yena Sanjeevidani Charandi. Due to whose presence, the body, the senses, and the pranam, and the subtle body, they are all functioning, know that He is the Supreme Personality. Krishna is present in there. And who follows you in all these three states of Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti? Who follows you in all these three states? He is Krishna. He is Narayana or Brahman or Super Soul. Whichever way you call it, these are different terminologies, the substance is the same. So, after talking about, he said here, that in this situation, when he said that where can we find him? The nine sages asked in the Bhagavadam, that is how they asked the Pipalayana Maharshi, where can we find him? That because when you read Srimad Bhagavadam, you should think through these things. Otherwise, like a legal document, I take Bhagavadam and start reading. Oh, this is what it said, this is what it said, this is what it said. That will not help. That is not reading Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam reading means when you read through, whatever that is spoken in that particular verse, we should think through it and see what is Sudeva Goswami saying in this instance. For example, here you can see that when Navayogis were asked by King Nimi, where can you find the Narayana? Pipalayana Maharshi answered that question. Pipalayana Maharshi answered that question. So Pipraya Maharshi's answer was this, that where can I find him? He said that, Andeshu Peshishu Tarusha Vinishchideshu Pranohi Jeeva Upadavadi Tatra Tatra Sanne Yadindriya Ganeham Ijaprasupte Kudastam Ashayamrade Tadanusmrade Naha. That is the answer. Where can you find him? Pipraya Maharshi is saying here, Andeshu Peshishu Tarishu Avinishchideshu Pranohi Jeeva Upadavadi Tatra Tatra. Andajam, Jayayujam, Udbijam, Swedajam. The four different ways reproduction happens. That is how the Vedic conclusion is. Andajam, Jayayujam, Udbijam, Swedajam. Through eggs, through like the mammals giving birth to the babies, Udbijam, Swedajam. That from the sweat, and Udbijam also from the what is born from the trees and plants, like the way through the seeds. So different ways we take birth in this. So all these four kinds of things, Tarishu Avinishchideshu, when all these things are happening, here Pipalaya Maharshi is saying, the pranam, the living force inside, it follows the jivan from one position to another. Pranam is following, isn't it? What goes with us is pranam. Pranam, the living force, goes with the soul to the next body. To the next body. So, in whichever form it comes out from there, whichever form it comes out, pranam accompanies the soul along with that. That's what he's saying here. Pranam accompanies the soul along with that. And, indriyagane sane ahamija prasupte, that when you go into sushupti states, when you go into deep sleep state, what happens? The senses and the subtle body also goes to sleep, also disappears from you. It's not functioning at that time, is it? At the time when you are in deep sleep, the subtle body is not functioning. The senses are not functioning. That's what he is saying here. That even at that time, the soul is awake. Atma is there, unaffected by any of those things. Today, in our conditioned state, what's happening is, we are thinking the soul is present, but we don't try to understand him properly. But that presence of the soul, we are now experiencing through other mediums, like the mind, like the intelligence, like the senses and all. That's where we are experiencing the soul in the current situation, in the present existence. But, think about this. When you go into the deep sleep state, these senses are inert. They have not functioning. The mind is not functioning. Intelligence is not functioning. But when you come out of that deep sleep, somebody was witnessing, experiencing that. Your intelligence was not there to tell you that you had a good sleep. It is not intelligence that's reporting to you at that time. But then who was telling you? Who came back after we woke up from that deep sleep and you came to the Jagrat state in the morning? Naturally, if you had a good sleep at night, in the morning when you wake up, first of all, you don't want to wake up. Even if you wake up, when you wake up, there is, of course, Krishna decides when you have to wake up, you have to wake up. So when you wake up and you go back and think about that deep sleep state when you were in, where you have experienced something which you don't experience throughout the day, which you don't experience, that happiness you got in the deep sleep, you won't get it throughout the day in anything else. The real so-called peace existed at that time. Why? You are free from the senses, free from the mind, free from the intelligence. Therefore, you experienced peaceful existence. In Brihadaranya Upanishad, a famous Upanishad, the way it's spoken is like this. Krishna takes us into a gold mine in the night and brings us back from the gold mine back to this world again. That's how it is expressed there. It's like a gold mine where you are experiencing some state of self-realization. Sashalkaram or Brahman realization, whatever they call it. that some experience of that you are getting in Sushupti. What happens in the day in this world is a little entertainment in between that. Between that Sushupti state and going back to Sushupti. Every evening when the day is over, after working whole day in the office or factory or wherever, or doing business, in the night when everything is finished, when you go to bed, what do you desire at that time? Want to have a good sleep, isn't it? That's all what you desire. You don't want anything else in this world. If you don't get it for a few days, you get worried about it. You say, why am I not getting good sleep? Because you know very well that it is in that deep sleep state you had the greatest happiness than anywhere else. Because that is where you had no other disturbances in life. Real shanti, as they refer to, you have experienced there. That's why it's given so much importance while studying about Sushupti. Sushupti state is nothing but a greater bliss, what you don't experience in the Jagrat or what you don't experience in the dream state. So therefore, it says here, Andeshu peshishu tayush anishchideshu pranohi jivam upadavadi tatra tatra sarve sanne idi indriyaganeha vija prasutte kudastamashe mrade tadanu smrudirnaha. That kudastam ashaya mrate tadanu smradirna. It says here, Tutalayana Maharshi is saying here, that na tadanu smradi bhavadihi, that if he has not come and told you that you are experiencing happiness there, you won't remember that when you wake up, would you? You woke up. And who reminded you that you were having a good, happy state of consciousness in the deep sleep? That is also, he does that. And at that time, the soul is called kudastam. Kudastam is the word used here. Kudastam ashaya mrade tadunu smridirna. He brings you back that memory from that sleeping state, deep sleep, to the Jagrat state. That's what he has done. Therefore, he is called kudastam. Kudastam ashaya mrade tadunu smridirna. He only brings you that memory so that he is thinking, let him have a little bit taste of it, what happiness means. But in our calculation, because in the modern education, these things are not considered important. They think that if you're not getting sleep, take a few tablets or do something like that, some automation, so that you can go to sleep. But we are talking about normal people, we are not talking about abnormal cases. So, kodastha ashaya mrudhi tadanu smradirna. That ashaya smrudhi, that smriti, he brings back. Therefore, he is called kodastha. Because it was only he present there at that time, nobody else. Your intelligence was not working, your mind was not working, your senses were not working. None of the other agents, what you have, so to say, to experience this world, they were absent at that time. But he was still present. Who? The soul. So he reports back to you that when you wake up, but we don't think all those things, we don't have time to think about when we wake up in the morning. We are ready to get back to the next Jagrat happiness. So therefore we don't, you know, but sages who have thought about this, they have analyzed it very much in detail and they have understood that this is where secret of life is. In Sushupti state, you are already going there and you are coming back from that. Although in Sushupti, if you get that same happiness, if you can bring it to Jagrat state, you are in the realized state. That's all it is. Self-realization means bringing that happiness, what you have experienced in Sushupti state, into Jagrat state. So, as much as one, when you start reflecting on these things, you'll also notice the importance of all the three states of existence and how it is being discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, when you are there, kudastha ashaya mrudhi tadanu smridirna, when you are there at that time, you are very, very close to the realized state. That's what it is saying here. Because you have nothing there to tell you that you have you have experienced something. As I mentioned before, your intelligence is not there, your mind is not there, your senses are not there. So, but then who is telling you when you come out of it? Kodastham. Kodastham Ashayamadhi Tadanasvamyavna. There is a, just to give you an idea, there is a story like this. It's just a story. But if you follow the story, you will get to catch the point. There was a cave in a forest, and in that cave there was a lot of gold. There's a lot of gold stored in that cave. The thing is, that cave won't open. Only once in 50 years or so it will open. And when it opens, it opens for a short period of time. It closes again. It closes again. So one day, one person was going through the forest, and he knew about this cave. About this cave. For his good fortune, when he was passing through, the cave opened. The cave opened. So when the cave opened, he realized that this is a great fortune what he has got. So he went in with his, he was traveling on a horse. So he went with the horse inside and took a lot of gold, what he wanted from the cave, and he came out from the cave before it closed. Only when he came out, he realized that, oh, I left my shoes inside the cave. So he left the horse outside with the gold. He went back to the cave. He took his shoes. But before he came out, the door got closed. We are also like that. Every day we are going to this gold mine, Sushupti. But before you can experience Sushupti and appreciate that, the curtain falls, he comes out from that. And what I'm saying is that if only we appreciate this Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti, that Krishna will discuss this later in the Ekadasha Skandam. In Bhagavad Gita you don't find this. That's why Uddhava Gita is a lot more a deeper subject. And this Uddhava Gita, if it is properly understood, and if you have spent enough time in analyzing this, its liberation is guaranteed. That's what Krishna is saying there. The liberation is a guaranteed liberation. That is the potency of Uddhava Gita. This Uddhava's, this Ekadasha Skandam, because you have to study this in depth, otherwise it won't happen. That both the Nininavayogi Samvadam, which comes as Vasudeva Narada Samvadam, and Krishna Uddhava Samvadam, which comes after that. If you study these two topics, it's the same topic in Navayogi Samvadam, which is expanded in a bigger level, Krishna when he spoke to Uddhava. If you study these two things, liberation is guaranteed according to Srimad Bhagavadam. Nirodha Muktirashraya. Mukti is Bhagavadam. Ekadasha Skandam is Krishna's head. Krishna's head cannot be an ordinary head, is it? It's not a head like ours, which nothing goes in. But that's a head from everything has come out from that head. So there Krishna is talking about these things. And if we don't take all these things on board, then what do we do with the spiritual life? What's the point? So that's why it is said here, Sutram Mahanahamidi Pravadandi Jivaha. Each and every word and every line in the Ekadasha Skandam is nectar. Is knowledge. Knowledge and devotion. Through knowledge, bringing us to the point of devotion. That is how we understand Krishna. Otherwise, you can't understand Krishna unless Krishna tells us how to understand him. Krishna gives us the opportunity. Krishna gives us the instructions in such a way that we take it seriously in study, then you will understand what is Krishna. That's what Krishna is saying here. That, so therefore, here, you will see that then that these sannesadindriyaganekhitam ujaprasupte kudasthamashayamrani tadanispradirnam, that we may ask this question, because it is, if it is like that, how come this ignorance has come to us like this? Can you appreciate that, how ignorant we are? It is not, the idea is not to inflict any kind of uneasiness in the mind. But we do have to recognize this fact, that whatever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavadam, if that is not going in, and if it's not doing the job, then all this is a lie. Srimad Bhagavatam is a lie. What is the point in studying Srimad Bhagavatam day after day? If that knowledge in the Bhagavatam what Krishna has spoken has not gone in and started proving to us that this is the truth. Krishna is talking about the truth. So, we may ask the question, how did this situation develop like this for us? How did this situation develop like this for us? That these things, what we are discussing, these things what we are discussing in the Srimad Bhagavatam, nobody will tell you these things. Nobody will tell you, because in Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, Krishna knew that Uddhava has specifically asked for it. This particular understanding that spiritual life is not something illogical as far as Krishna is concerned. It's very much based on logic and reasoning. There is logic, there is reasoning behind everything. So, therefore, except Vedic literature, nobody will mention these things. Even many times, you will notice, people study Srimad Bhagavatam. They will study in such a way that whatever they have captured, so they may find something, some moral instructions here and there attractive, or some of the pastimes attractive. That is fine. That is necessary also. Nothing is rejected. But if you want to understand what Krishna wants us to know, as he spoke to Uddhava here, you will have to see there that this knowledge for us at the moment, Krishna is outside, Krishna is in the deity room, Krishna is in the temple, Krishna is in that holy place, Krishna is in this holy place. So many other things we have picked up as far as knowledge is concerned. But it is not lifting us further. It's not taking us further. Therefore it is said that the inquiry what we have begun in spiritual life has to move on. Has to move on. It cannot stay here forever. So therefore it is said like this, that that when the in the Shastram only other things are also spoken, isn't it? All other things are also spoken in the Shastram. For example, we say you have to get up in the morning, you have to chant the holy name, you have to do the deity worship, you have to associate with devotees, you have to take prasadam. These are all regulations given to us. These are all regulations given to us. The purpose of all this is that by executing all these things, we will start, our inquiry will get deeper. If the inquiry is not deeper, but if it simply stays on that level, that is not going to take us very far. This is the point. So, therefore it is said here that this inquiry, nothing is rejected. They are also necessary. That, but it will be like this. Just like a child, if he went into the nursery class, and in the nursery class he learned a lot of things, and he spent there many years, and then he never moved from there to the top. So every year he was getting the topmost mark in the class, but he never moved up from there, he stayed there. So one day he went back and told his father that I'm first in the class, he said. But he was much older than all other children were in the class. So similarly, so the father said to him that you have been in the nursery for so long, what's happening, it's not moving up. He said, no, but I'm scoring the topmost mark there, so I'm still there, he said. So same thing, what is the point in getting the topmost mark here in that level when nothing else is happening? So Krishna is saying here that kodastham ashayamrati tadana smrdevana, that kodastham, Krishna is present as kodastham and he comes to us and reporting back to us that to study these instructions very, very seriously. That once in an ashram there was one sage who lived there, And many people used to come and visit him in the ashram. In the ashram, many people used to come and visit him. So one day, it so happened that a brahmana came there, and this brahmana was very much attached to his deity worship. So in the ashram, the facilities were not very good for the deity worship. He had his own deity, and he wanted to worship the deity personally. So what he used to do, he used to take his deity near the goshala. In the ashram there was a goshala. He used to worship the deity there, near the goshala, because it's a pure place for deity worship. So every morning when the sannyasi used to go on walking, he used to see this brahmana doing his deity worship there. So he will go up to him and spend some time there when he was doing the deity worship. So eventually, one day, the sannyasi didn't go to see the deity worship. So that time, brahmana started thinking why the sannyasi didn't come today. So he went back and told the sannyasi that, oh, today you didn't come for the deity when I was worshipping. So he said to him, asked him this question, what about tomorrow? Are you going to do the deity worship? In other words, sannyasi was expecting that through association and through studying Shastram and Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita, that somehow or the other, the inquiry go a little bit step further than that. Deity worship is not rejected, don't get me wrong in that way. Deity worship is necessary. But through deity worship, simultaneously, the inquiry also has to go get stronger. If there is no inquiry further than that, what will happen? What will happen is the same thing as I mentioned before, that you will not see where you have to go spiritually. That Krishna consciousness is like that. So, in Vedas we have got Karma Kandam, Upasana Kandam, so many things mentioned, all for this reason only. That till we start seeing, I don't know in how many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam this point is mentioned, but we don't care to take note of it. In so many places you will see that attention has to turn inwards. Rather than the worshipping process, you also have to change your attention, shift your attention towards a person who is doing the worship, where it's coming from. Whom are you worshipping? Where did this come from? This thought also has to come through. That's what is mentioned. And then, in the Bhagavatam, in the Krishna also, if you read Bhagavad Gita carefully, you'll notice, sarvasya cha aham hrdi sannivishta matta smridir jnanam apohanam cha vedescha sarve ahameva vedyo vedandakat vedavideva shaham. Why did Krishna talk about this point very strongly? Sarvasya cha aham hrdi sannivishta. Krishna gives a lot of importance of being present in everyone's heart. He could not have mentioned that, isn't it? He could have said to us, look, go to the temple every day and do the deity worship, you'll be alright. But he didn't say, only he didn't stop there. He says, sarvasya cha aham hrdi sannivishtaha. I am present in everyone's heart. Mattam smridir jnanam apohanam cha. Forgetfulness, knowledge, memory, everything comes from me because I am present there. Why? Vedescha sarver ahameva vedyo. Through all the inquiry, through the Vedic literature, it is me who has to be known. Vedandakrad Veda Videva Chaham. At the end of Vedandakrad Ved Videva Chaham. That at the end of this inquiry only it is me who has to be known. Now here a question will come. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam in the second chapter, the verse is number 41. All these are interconnected. They are not spoken in a very on its own. But the connection you can see. Only when you understand the connection, you enjoy reading Srimad Bhagavatam. In the second canto, in the second chapter, if you look into the verse number 41, the same thing is spoken in a different way. Yeah. A devotee, when he is progressing, he is moving up in the spiritual power, what will happen to him is this realization of Krishna's presence will in other living entities will be strongly felt by the devotee or a jnani. Jnani or a devotee, both are in the spiritual path. Now, at what stage does this happen? This is the question. What normally happens to everybody who are moved up in that way? They have moved away from they have practiced spiritual life enough that their Brahmavaloka Dishanam has already woken up inside. So the inquiry has gone to a higher level, and that through that inquiry process, they have freed themselves from the bodily identity. In other words, they have already realized that they are not this body. The bodily concept of life, they have freed themselves from that. After they have freed themselves from the bodily concept of life, what will happen? That is what that verse says. Kham vayum agnim salilam mahim cha jyotim shri sattvani vishodramadim saril saudram shahare shariram yal kinjabodam pranamet ananyah. Kham vayum agnim salilam mahim cha jyotim shri sattvani vishodramadim saril samudram shahare shariram yal kinjavodam praname dananyaham khadi sarvam hare shariram ananyaha praname. That whatever he is, this person who has already self-realized, when he is looking outside in this world, whatever he sees, whether it is sky, the air, or the fire, water, the five material elements, earth, all the planets, all the other living entities, different directions, trees, plants, ocean, sea, everything, he will only see all these places Krishna is present in all these things. And that's why he's saying, saril samudram cha hare shariram yal kinjabudam praname dananyah. When he starts seeing Krishna's presence in everything, he will pay obeisances to Krishna there, in all these places. So, first self-realize, we have to realize ourselves what we are. After that, we realize what the external world is. Today what we know as the external world, or everything what we are experiencing outwardly, everything what we see in the external world, we will realize what it is at that point. So, the self-realization, first realizing one's own self. After that, realizing everything else in the creation. That is the progress. It's not that we will see everything first as Krishna. First, you have to see our own realization, self, spirit, soul, Aham Brahmasmi stage. It's after Aham Brahmasmi, this thing happens. That realizing everything else in this world as Krishna's presence in everything. Kham vayum agnim salilam mahim cha jyotim shri sattvani vishodramadim saril samudram cha hare shariram yal kinjabodam praname dananyaham. And when he sees that, what will happen? Naturally, he will fall down and start paying obeisances to everyone in this world. Today, we play obeisances in a out of force condition, or not with any proper feelings behind it. Not with any feelings behind it. First of all, it takes a while for us to make a decision whether to pay obeisances or not. This is a conditioned state. Why? Because on a natural level, we haven't understood this. When it has to happen in a natural process, only then it will have the proper... nobody need to tell you at that point that I have to make obeisances to the ocean or to the sky, because hare samudram saril samudram cha hare shariram yal kinjavodam praname dananyaham. No living entity is outside Krishna at that point. Everyone is connected with Krishna. All this jagat, universe, what has been created by Krishna is also connected with Krishna. So when does that connection is realized? After we have self-realized. First we have to realize the self, what we are. But being, staying within this body, within this bodily concept of life, and with this bodily identity, it is not possible to see Krishna everywhere. This is the fact. You will not be able to see Krishna in this world while we are very much identifying with the body. So that's why it is said, first we have to come out of the bodily identity. After that, once you have come to the Aham Brahmasmi stage, after that, the next step, after that will be what is spoken in this verse here. So, we say here that the that when it is spoken, that is when our Krishna consciousness is proper. Up to this point, it's all sentimental. Today, when we say, oh, he is a great devotee, we say. Somebody, you are saying. We say he is a great devotee. Or we say, we think we have a lot of devotion to Krishna, isn't it? So many misunderstandings we have developed in our own mind. But that is, all very much on a sentimental level. Strictly speaking, there is no really any devotion in our heart. We know that very well. Our devotion is very much dependent on how our material life goes. If material life is not going very well, our devotion also will go with that day. But the same thing will stay from us. What is discussed in the Ekadasha Skandam is not that kind of devotion. What is spoken here is what is proper devotion. Otherwise, this will all remain as a mental concept, isn't it? It remains as a mental concept. It is not a mental concept that when we proper devotion develops inside through this knowledge, what is spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam, and when realization starts happening to a devotee, automatically his style of devotion will also change. The style of devotion will change. It is not dependent on anything. This is the devotion, what is spoken in the first canto, second chapter. If you remember that verse, in the second chapter, when we read that second chapter, I think the title Prabhupada's given that is devotional service or divine and divinity or something like that. So in that second chapter, if you read, you will find there that savai pumsam paro dharmam yato bhakti ratho okshaje ahaituki apradihada yenalpa samprasitati. Take each line and look at this way. Savai pumsam paro dharmam. When a person has come to that realization of his relationship with Krishna, his own personal identity, what he is, then what happens? Yado bhakti ratho kshaje. He has what is known as bhakti at that time. And what is that? Ahetuki apradihada. There is no cause behind it. What the only cause you can say is that he started realizing what he is actually. That is what has happened to him. Only at the point when he realized what actually he is. Up to that point, he thought he is the body, he is the mind, he is the senses. So, under the control of the body, mind and the senses, he was executing some kind of devotional service. But that devotional service is very much dependent on his own sentiments. When he has come out of it, when he has come out of the bodily identity, and then he executes devotional service in another platform. That is what is spoken in that chapter. Savai pumsam paryo dharmam yedo bhakti ratho okshaje ahaituki apratihada yenalma samprasetadi. Ahaituki apratihada. There is no cause behind it, because natural way from inside, because his brahmava loka dishanam has come up to such a high degree that he cannot stay away from serving Krishna. He cannot stay away from serving Krishna. Ahaituki, apratihada. Apratihada means nothing can stop that also. Even if you try to stop it, it won't stop. He will go break away and go away from that. He will do it. This is bhakti. Ahaituki, apratihada. And what will happen? Yena alma samprasidati. Because the alma, the soul, is in its blissful state at that time. Now we are executing devotional service. Can anyone say, I am experiencing tremendous bliss in my devotional service? I don't know. I am not. I don't know about you, if anybody is feeling it. But generally, we have to take it that that blissful state of devotional service, we don't even know what it is. We are thinking today, I'm doing everything like a machine morning to night. But, and in the evening, oh, I've done today another day devotional service. I've done my 16 rounds also. And I go to Sushupti. Wake up in the morning and start the next day again. Chak, 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 chak. This is our bhakti today. It is going on day after day after day. And in the middle of all this, we'll meet some people here and say, oh, he's great devotee, he's that devotee. We'll glorify a lot of people also in that process. But as far as I am concerned, nothing has changed. It's the same old misery following day after day after day. Nothing has changed. So that's what Bhagavatam is talking about. Bhagavatam is saying, take Srimad Bhagavatam seriously. Try to understand this science of bhakti, Krishna bhakti, Krishna consciousness. For this, Prabhupada spent all his night time. Instead of studying that, what he wanted to tell us, and accepting and realizing that, if we spend all our time, now I've done the Guru Puja whole day I've been doing Guru Puja. Well, I won't read any of the things what he has written. I'm busy because I've got so many other things to do. My Guru will take me home. It's not going to happen. He knows, we also know that. Better to recognize the fact as it is. No guru can take you, or no disciple can follow him. As I mentioned before, this spiritual life and spiritual realization is such a thing. It is not something somebody can give it to you. You have to take it on your own shoulders. Or, as I said, so many Christ has come here, Jesus Christ. Nobody else became another Jesus Christ, did they? As soon as Jesus Christ left, immediately started changing everything. And they made their own rules and regulations, and then organizations came up, and so many other things followed after that. But the knowledge what Jesus Christ has spoken, how many have taken it very seriously? It is the same truth with Buddha also. So many Jesus Christ, so many Buddhas will come. They'll come and go. And they are all very, very compassionate. If they were able to do it, they would have done it. They would have taken us and lighted that knowledge in our heart and made us to realize. But the fact that in very world we see that it is not happening. It's not happening. That even minimum things what they spoke to us, we couldn't accept it. This is our, and if it is true with Jesus Christ, it is true with Buddha, it is true with Krishna also. We get stuck somewhere. Instead of seeing what Krishna has spoken, instead of taking that in depth and in heart and wholeheartedly and following that, we will waste our time in so many things where the importance is not, the priority is not that, but that things are even important. So, that's what we are talking about. That, that when this, at the moment, in our own spiritual life, what is standing as a block is our own false ego. Isn't it? Our own false ego. So, when this false ego will go, it doesn't go easily, does it? And when it will come back, you don't know. Anytime it can turn up also. That when this false ego completely disappears, at that time the consciousness inside will tell us and we will experience that bliss, what is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the next chapter, which we will have to look at later, it is said there that Jityasayam Sampravrte Nadriel Karma Chodanam. The 10th chapter is a very, very important chapter in the Ekadasha Skanda. You will see there, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, the beginning itself, Krishna says to Uddhava, one important point. Krishna says to Uddhava, Jityasayam Sampravrte Nadriel Karma Chodanam. That if the jityasa is there, jityasa means this dishana or the brahmavaloka dishana. In other words, this inquisitiveness in a person. Jityasayam sampravrte nadriyel karma chodanam. Karmam, everything has to be finished at that point. You can't keep on talking about doing karmam at that time. Karmam will not help you at that stage. It will come up at that later stage. That because this realization of the self, what we are talking about. This is in desire, is in everyone. Desire is there in everyone. We also want to realize the self. There is no question about that. And as I mentioned before, that sometimes with our limited intelligence, when we analyze things, we also know very well that this, we cannot be this body, isn't it? We cannot be this body. This realization do come to everyone at some stage or the other in life, especially when you get older. After living a life, you start thinking, what did I gain from all these things in this world? I've been, of course, it is difficult to get that thought in the early days in life. Only very few people may get that. But majority of the people, as they get older, they'll also get these thoughts into their mind that, what did I gain from this life? Even it has happened to Vedavyasa Maharshi, if you see, right before he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, that he was analyzing life in that way. So when you analyze life, you will see that Jityasyam Sambhavate Nadriyal Karma Chodana, that he has analyzed and realized also from that, that there is something we have to inquire after. Sometimes when you sit in the Bhagavatam class or in a nice association with someone who is serious about spiritual life, some smell of that comes to you also. You get a little bit of that. There is no doubt. I'm sure that you may have experienced in many places, many times, that something to do with self-realization is giving you some impetus to inquire a little bit further than that. And sometimes people say, I have heard this many times from different devotees, whatever that has been spoken is all true, but I'm not getting it, he says. Have you heard that people saying? Some people will say, they say, whatever you have spoken, whatever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, all makes sense, but somehow we're not getting it, what it is. What is this thing called self? I'm not getting it. And Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, of all the wonders is the greatest wonder, the soul. Ashcharyaval pashyati ashcharyenam, isn't it? Some people say it's the most wonderful thing to hear. Some people say it's the most wonderful thing to see. There's a verse in the second chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. So, you can see that everyone considers it's a wonderful thing, this thing called soul. And Krishna is also saying to us, we are the soul, but we are not getting it. So inquiry is going on, but it's just not making it. In other words, important thing is that this inquiry is in everyone. At some stage or the other, it is happening. And spiritual life is nothing but fanning this inquiry inside, deepening it further and further. But unfortunately, in the modern world, because if you ask me, which is the greatest cheating happens in this world? In which field? Which field is the greatest cheating happening in this world? I used to think it was in the business field, like Satyam computers or things like that. I realized, no, it is not. It is in religion. It is in this one field, maximum cheating goes on. Why? Instead of educating people on the spiritual side of their life, what happens? What happens? A lot of people use spiritual life for accumulating wealth, for followers, and various things like that. Sometimes you see in India some of the programs, it's amazing. In the name of spiritual life, thousands and thousands of people are sitting there. In television, it's broadcast all over the world, as long as people can see. Lot of dancing and music and all sorts of things goes on. And they come and they hear katha and they go, they're gone. Nothing has happened, nothing has changed either. What use is there, that spiritual life? That spiritual life is this, that so Vedasya Skandam is not talking about that kind of spiritual life. You will see here that that because of this, it is the great highest industry in the world today. It's the greatest industry today. There was one sannyasi who lives in Rishikesh. I will repeat his own words what he spoke about it. He said like this, Nowadays, we have, he says, when he talks about we sannyasis, we have a lot of respect for the disciples, he said. We don't have a lot of respect for the gurus, he said. But we have a lot of respect for the disciples, he said. So why did he say that? Why was he making a statement like that? He says, lot of them, they know very well that these people don't know anything. So, in order to keep them under their control, they will say anything and keep them in their wings. That's what they do. But what happens is, the followers who don't know anything, they go for all these kind of programs, they sit there and they listen. And when they listen, in their heart, naturally, a kind of devotion develops inside. The devotion develops in their heart, but they start thinking, oh, this speaker is such a great soul. He is giving me so much understanding of spiritual life. He must be a self-realized. Like this, he started worshipping him and glorifying him. In that process, normally what happens is, the person who is doing it, in his own mind, he becomes more Krishna conscious. In other words, because he develops a certain kind of respect for him in a natural way. At least at that time, his false ego goes away. He is thinking, I am not this body. Isn't it? At least at that point, when he is listening, he is thinking, I am not this body. And also, he is developing some devotion to that person. But that person is in a dangerous state, who is giving this lecture. He is in a very dangerous state. Because what normally happens is, if you make this preaching like this a business, if they don't get people, you will start saying anything and everything to keep them in your control. Otherwise their business will go one day. They have to do it. This is the reality of this world. So eventually what will happen is, these people who are hearing, they will escape one day because in their heart there is some devotion has built up somehow. They may escape from that. Although, after a while, they will also see the truth. And they will withdraw from the scene. But on the other person, what will happen to him? Who has been presenting himself in a false platform, the possibility is that he will speak things which he has not realized himself. In the 10th chapter, this is a very, very important point Krishna is stressing upon. Madavityam gurum shantam madasinam upalmagam. Krishna says, he is the person who can represent me, not anybody else. Madavityam, who has understood me, who I am. And imagine, therefore, these things are not spoken outwardly to anybody. As soon as Ekadasya Skandam comes, people say, okay, it's all, it's not so important. We have learned study 10 canto, there is no need to study 11 canto, everything is there in the 10 canto. But 10 canto, yes, 10 canto is necessary, 11 canto is also necessary. Whole of Bhagavatam is necessary. There is not one word, one letter you can drop from Srimad Bhagavatam because the spiritual life is built up on the foundation of Srimad Bhagavatam. So what will happen is, this person, he will start feeling that, oh, so many people have come to my lecture, they will start naturally feeling some kind of reverence to him and start saying, oh, he's a great Mahatma, he's a great sannyasi, he is this, he is that. After some time, what will happen is, even if I'm not a Mahatma, I'll start feeling, I am a Mahatma. This is what the next step that will happen. And then, after that, as soon as you become Mahatma, what will happen? The television crew with the camera. Maharaj, how about having some program in my television channel? Let me help you your spiritual life. So, what will happen? Your spiritual life will take a different dimension altogether. You will start thinking, your job is to save this world, not save yourself. Saving yourself becomes the second thing. Saving the world becomes the priority. But, remember this one point. This world you don't have to save. The person who has created, he knows how to run it and where it will go, it is under his control. Not your control, my control. So many people have tried to save this world. It was never saved. It was never saved. Nobody can save it. It has its own route already chalked out for it. It will go in that direction. If you try to save this world, what will happen is, whole life you will try to save this world, and at the end you will see like the tail of the dog. You remember, if you put a pipe on the tail of the dog, you take the pipe out, the tail will go back to its original position. That's what will happen to this world. And material nature will teach you that hard lesson at the very end of the life, that you have wasted your life in this process. Nobody can save this world. And the world is not here for you to save. On the other hand, the world is here to take advantage of the world and escape from here. If you have done that, you have done your duty to Krishna and to yourself. The world, prabhancha, material creation, this is not only Vedanta philosophy, it is also coming from the Sankhyam. Sankhyam has very clearly defined this, very explicitly defined this. Bhogam abhavarga pradayini, it says about the material world. This material world can do two things for you. What are they? It can give you sense enjoyment, bhogam and abhavarga pradayini. Abhavarga means how to release from this cycle of birth and death. That's all this world can do for you. On the other hand, if you get stuck here in the process of removing the miseries of this world and thinking that Krishna has sent me here for this purpose, to change the world and to save the world. You can do all that with your family or with the rest of the world, but spiritual life, it doesn't work. It will not work. Eventually what will happen is you may have to regret. So many people we have seen like this. Throughout their life got involved with this and that, and so many people they ran after, so many organizations they served, and at the end of their life, they were all disappointed. They were all disappointed. They didn't gain anything from that. Why? Because they didn't do what they were asked to do, what Krishna has told them to do. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna is talking to Uddhava, and in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking to Arjuna. Two great disciples of Krishna, through him, through them, Krishna has spoken to us what he wants us to do. And we don't want to hear any of that. We want to make our own plan, what suits us in this world. And that is how we want to execute spiritual life. So that's why it is spoken here that the principle that one has to execute in spiritual life is this, that Krishna consciousness is Srimad Bhagavatam. The science of Krishna consciousness is Srimad Bhagavatam. And when we do not go through Srimad Bhagavatam, our Krishna consciousness can be affected very much. This is the main point what Krishna has made here. Then, so, Labdhva sudurlabhamidam, Krishna says, Labdhva sudurlabhamidam, bahusambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam avihadhiraham. Then Krishna is calling him a dhira. Dhira means a sober and a person who is very courageous. What has he done? Manushyam arthadam anityam avihadhiraham. That human life is a very, very short-term affair. Very short-term affair. Manushya, human body. Arthadam, anityam. Anityam is temporary also. And one, he has realized this in the first day itself. He is very fortunate. Why? Turnam yade nabade edani murtiyaval nishayasaya vishaya khalu sarvadasyal. That he should endeavor for nishayasam. That is what he should be endeavoring for. Nishayasaya vishayakhalu sarvadasyal. Vishayam or sense enjoyment is available everywhere else. You don't have to come to this human form. That is what Krishna has told Uddhava. So this consciousness, waking up this consciousness is what is done in the association of devotees. Now you see what a devotees association is for. Devotees association is not for social gathering. It's not a social gathering. As long as this desire for Bhramavaloka Dishanam is developing inside, Nishrayasam is happening inside, that association is association. That is called satsangam. Otherwise it's not satsangam. What's the point in sitting here all of us and we have to discuss about all other rubbish in this world? How does it help? People have time for everything else, isn't it? But when it comes to Brahmavalokadarshanam, And what Krishna has spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, no one has time. They are busy. Brahmava Logadishvam, Brahmava Devaha, Nishrayasai Vishaya Khalu Sarvadasyal, Krishna says there. So, this can happen in two ways. Either in satsangam, association with devotees, this can happen. This Brahmava Logadishanam can build up inside. Alternatively, through reflection, it can happen. Say, somebody gets very serious about spiritual life. He does not want to do anything with this world. He wants to free himself from the cycle of birth and death. He becomes very thoughtful. And that process is jnanam. And the process in satsangam shravanam is bhakti. That's the difference. Bhakti process means through hearing, developing brahmavalokadishanam. Jnanam process is through reflection, developing this brahmavalokadishanam. Realizing Krishna. Realizing our true identity. So that's why one through intelligence and one through the heart. So, brahmavalokadishanam udamabadevaha. What we have to realize at this point is, we talked so much about brahmavalokadishanam, isn't it? So, what is this brahmavalokadishanam? I mentioned that also before, that intense search developing inside, the jinyasa, inquisitiveness, that somehow or the other, before this body drops off, I have to realize the truth, what I am. And I have to get out of this birth and death, cycle of birth and death. This is brahmavalokadishanam. Brahmavalokadishanam is this, that somehow or the other, and when it gets intense, more and more, very intense, when it gets, accordingly, our spiritual life progresses. So there is nothing that is stopping in our spiritual life. And this is also something too important to remember, that brahmavalokadishana, in other words, is something not from the, is a product of the mind, not a product of the intelligence, not a product of the senses. It's a product of the soul. It's a product of the soul. It is from soul that begins. Everything begins from the soul. So when you come to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita about the soul, and when your desire to know about the soul intensifies, your brahmavalokadishana has started. And it is from, once that develops, automatically your inquiry will go in a deeper level. It won't stay on the surface. It will go on a deeper level. You will start taking Bhagavatam seriously. You will start taking Bhagavad Gita very seriously and start reading through it, deeper and deeper. And day by day, your thoughts will develop in that way. In that way, the thought process will develop inside. Thought process will develop inside. Please do not misunderstand. This is a knowledge. Brahmavalokadishanam is not knowledge collection, information collection. Information collection you can do anywhere. Nowadays particularly, information collection is not a problem. It's available through CDs, cassettes, and the internet. Everything is available there. Information is concerned. Brahmavalokadishanam is not available on the internet. That you have to develop from within. That you can only get it either in satsangam, association with devotees, or if you are an intelligent person, from Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, you will be able to extract it out. You will be able to extract it out. That's what happens all the time. Do you think that all the great acharyas and all, they have joined any organization before they realized the self? They didn't join any organization. In fact, many of the highly realized souls, they were not in any organization. They were all outside the organization. So, brahmavalokadishana is strong in them. Therefore, they did not look for anything else in this life except advance on the spiritual life. That was their strong message inside and which they have developed. And by Krishna's grace, they moved. Seeing their seriousness, Krishna provided the support from inside. Krishna provided the support from inside. So, therefore, Krishna is saying here that Nishrayasaya Vishayakkhalu Sarvadasyal. There is one important point there. You see, when Krishna spoke about this, Krishna also says there, Turnam yade napadel anumurtiyaval. Anumurtiyaval. What is that anumurtiyaval? Anumurtiyaval means that somebody is traveling with you all the time. What is that? Who is traveling with you? That is called death. Death is traveling with you. For example, normally our nature is, say we are driving on a motorway. We saw a serious accident on a motorway. 2-3 bodies lying there on the motorway. We make some comment and we move on, isn't it? From there. We think, oh, that some mistake has happened to me, it may not happen to me. This is what we are thinking. What Krishna is saying here is, each and every one of us in this world is on that fast lane in this motorway. Any moment, anything can happen. And you could be thrown out of this, everything could be finished from here. So, if you are sensible, this Krishna is saying here, that's what that word is used. Turnam yade na pade anumurtiyaval nishreyasaya. That anumurtiyaval, that you know that the danger is waiting any moment, that I could be taken away from this situation. Which means, I can be a sick person, very very sick, I can't do anything about it. That can happen any moment. What sickness is waiting at the doorstep, we don't know. What other danger is waiting at the doorstep, we don't know. We don't know anything, what is going to happen any moment. So many people you see, very healthy, one day, next day, stroke, lying there. Finished, everything, they can't do anything anymore. You can stand and glorify here, or did this, did that. Where is the Brahmavaloga Dishanam? In that case, all lives spent trying to improve the world. Nothing has happened at the end. Brahmavaloga Dishanam Mudamabadevaha. So, therefore, Bhagavatam is saying here, that the danger, padam padam yad vivadam natesham. Bhagavatam says that, isn't it? Samashadaye padavallavaplavam mahal padam punyesho murare bhavam bodhirvalsavaram padam padam yad vivadam natesham. In the Bhagavatam you will find this. That samashadaye padavallavaplavam mahal padam punyesho murare. That addressing Krishna, I think it is Brahma has spoken this. Brahma is saying that samashradaye padavallava plavam, that knowing Krishna, knowing the truth is the business of life. Mahal padam, Krishna's lotus feet, punyesho murare, that murari means addressing Krishna, that this is the only business you have given to us. Bhavambodar valsavaram padam 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 yan vivadam nadesham. That one who has taken to that process, he knows that every step there is danger, but he will cross over that danger exactly like you can step over of the footprint of a calf. Where there is a little water, you can walk over. In the same way, once you have taken to Krishna consciousness or through process self-realization, one can get over that. That is what is spoken here. We'll stop there. We have a lot more things. These few verses requires a lot of discussion, because when you go into the 10th chapter is heavier than this. It's a lot more heavy. Heavy in the sense, with 10th chapter, Krishna has concluded all what he has to say to Uddhava. After that, what you find in the Ekadasham is all what he has spoken till then is further elaboration of that. So 10th chapter is important. We'll move into that next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you.